Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
Relationships. Lovingly tend every relationship like a garden until it yields the rich harvest of love. Now, I have to say this honestly. You know, every relationship is not going to end harmoniously. You may tend your relationships like a garden as assiduously as you can with as much skill as you can muster. But other people also have their own destiny and they also have free will. So don't misunderstand this. This is not a promise that everything's going to end happily. I remember this woman who came to our temple. This was many years ago. She came to me and she knew a little bit about our teaching, but she hadn't become as deep in it as she became later. And she was caught up in a very complicated relationship situation. Somehow I seem to recall, the details are a little obscure to me, but it seemed to me, Carl, that there was a long-term relationship with someone that had just turned into such a mess and it just wasn't working at all. Yes, that was the situation. So she wanted to counsel with me because she wanted to finish the karma. That was it. She wanted to finish the karma. I said, I don't think I can help you. I just said, I can't guarantee that you can finish the karma. I can perhaps move this thing along a little bit, certainly within you, but if the man is not interested, which he wasn't at all, I mean, what possible guarantee is this? So we have to understand, you know, that other people have free will and that everything working out to please our egoic idea of what's correct is not what Swami is promising here. He said, tend every relationship until it yields a rich harvest of love. But he's not talking about a reciprocal kind of human love. He's talking about the potential within us to be in tune, to be a channel for, to experience perfect unconditional love. But controlling the world around us, just don't count on it. Karma plays a very big role, and more than that, now let me think how to say it. It's not that human love will not come to us. It's not that God won't bless us with deep and loving and everlasting relationships. But they don't come just because we want them, and they don't necessarily come when and from whom we want them. But our responsibility is to consistently and unrelentingly do our part to transform our response. Just, it's our response is what we have to work with. And Swamiji, in his life, because he was a very strong character and he accomplished a tremendous amount, he was an innovator and visionary and just thought way beyond what the average person was thinking. And as he put it about himself, he said, I am the kind of person who evokes strong reactions in people. He said, many people love me, which they did. He wrote books, and his books were sold in 100 countries in 30 or 50 languages, perhaps, by the end of his life. I don't even know. And music, and founded communities, literally tens of thousands of people, probably hundreds of thousands of people, admired him and loved him for all that he gave and all that he did in his long and very creative life. And he also had, and even to this day, even though he's off the planet, there was a strong coterie of what he described, Swami called self-declared enemies, whose point of view was about as opposite, you know, far from being the great blessing to the planet that so many people thought he was. They thought he was virtually Satan himself incarnated. These were theological disputes. You know, the heretic is also a character. The heretic is a character in the play, and those who have a certain orthodox view, the one they think is presenting heresy, and then continues to present heresy, his success in his heretical point of view doesn't make him right. He's still a heretic from their point of view, and depending on how determined they are in the necessity to stamp out heresy. I mean, just religious history, you need to almost know almost nothing to realize how all-pervasive this theme is. Then the self-styled enemies, the God-inspired self-styled enemies will have this incredible attitude toward you. And in Swami's life, he had enemies galore, and they were pretty unrelenting in their determination to unmask him for the nefarious character they believed he was. And, you know, Swamiji's in very good company. Jesus, for example, was crucified, and he was not the only spiritual person to be persecuted and tortured in various ways. St. John of the Cross, who was, of course, a very well-known and much-loved figure, he had a number of enemies. And at the end, when St. John of the Cross was literally on his deathbed, and he was being cared for by nuns of the Carmelite order, of which he was a part for the monastic side. He was being cared for by these nuns. One of his primary detractors actually came to where he was dying and interrogated the nuns, trying to prove that John had been inappropriate in his relationships with them. I mean, literally in the last hours of his life, you know, this self-styled enemy was trying to prove him wrong. So, these are extreme examples, but I'm sure we all have extreme examples. I remember a woman talking to me. She was going to visit her mother. She wanted me to pray for a harmonious visit. I asked her some questions. Her mother sounded to me like a deeply psychologically disturbed woman who was exceedingly unkind to my friend, who didn't want her to come and visit. And my friend was determined to go. And this time, you know, her mother was going to turn into a different person. I was skeptical as to why she was doing it. Now, on one hand, you might say, well, she should just keep trying. But I'm going to talk about what Swami said about his self-styled enemies. And there were long periods of interaction, including litigation and all sorts of things. He said, I can keep reaching out my hand, you know, in friendship to someone, but if they consistently bat it away and won't take it, he said, after a while, I'll just keep my hands in my pockets. And it didn't mean that he was less loving, less open, less accepting. He just thought, why would I consistently put my hand out if somebody doesn't want it? I'll just keep my hands in my pocket. And he was very quick and constant in this. He said, that doesn't mean that I love them less. He said, even, I may not respect their actions. But everybody, as Swami would often say, everybody has delusions. And nobody is consistently one thing or another. We all have good qualities and we all have bad qualities. And even the worst person in the world, there's some part of him that means well. Otherwise, they wouldn't be acting that way. There was some very famous criminal of the 1930s or something like that. And he it might have been Dillinger. I think that was his name. He was a murderous man. I mean, not a good man at all. He finally died in a shootout with the police, if I have the facts right or even close to right. And, you know, when he died, they found this handwritten note. I've been much misunderstood. Within this heart beats the... You know, within this body beats the heart of a kind and loving man. Well, he had a very unusual way of showing it. But nonetheless, it was true. And because here is the fact that has to be understood, which is every aspect of creation is equally a manifestation of God. And every human being is equally a manifestation of God and has the same divine potential within them. It's just that some are more aware of it and more capable of being able to express it. We're all waves on the same ocean, but the quality of those waves and how they go, they're all very different, but it's all the same ocean. In the ritual that Swami Kriyananda wrote called the Festival of Light that at Ananda we repeat it every week, at least in America and intermittently in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world. You know, everyone is equally loved by God. We're all equal before God, not only Jesus Christ, Babaji, Krishna, and great saints everywhere, but even in essence, those who have sinned most greatly. It doesn't change your nature to behave badly. If you think about it, really, what's the difference between a saint and the worst criminal in the world? It's the way they behave. I mean, think about that. I mean, the bodies are standing there. It's two eyes, you know, two hands, the capacity to move through the world. What's the difference? If the saint picks up a gun and starts murdering people, he's no longer a saint. If the criminal repents and begins to dedicate his life to uplifting humanity, he's become maybe not yet a saint, but he's no longer a criminal. Even if he's life in prison and dedicates himself there to serving others in the best he can, he's no longer a criminal. We're all really exactly the same. And what we have to work on in lovingly tending all our relationships is that we have to come to understand that divinity in everyone. Now, this is the important key. Swami speaks of you have to tend it like a garden. Well, when you're working with the garden, you can't treat every plant the same. Soil conditions are different. Weather conditions are different. Different plants have different needs. They will thrive under certain circumstances and be choked under other circumstances. So we always have to behave appropriately. To tend the garden of a relationship means to behave appropriately in that relationship for the best interests of both of you. You know, it's not appropriate to sacrifice your well-being just because somebody asks you to. Just because he or she wants you to behave in a certain way doesn't mean you ought to do it merely because they asked. Because if your plant withers and dies, their plant won't thrive either because it's not appropriate. And some people are dangerous in the way they relate to the world, and they need to be restrained. And sometimes if we cooperate too much with what people want, we really don't help them because we give them a false idea of how the world is going to treat them. We have that word enabling, which is a very good word. So to lovingly tend the garden means to be impersonal enough, strong enough in ourselves, and elevated enough in our understanding that we need to do that which is helpful. And we have to put ourselves in the equation. You know, other people are not less important than you, but neither are they more important. We just have to look at the truth of it. And sometimes the truth of it is, I've reached my limit. This is as far as I can go. When I've had to counsel people many times in deeper, more personal relationships, I have to just ask the question, do you have any energy left for this? And there's a point at which you have to say, no, I don't. And the karma may not be finished. I remember when I was extricated from a very difficult karmic situation, and Swamiji said something to me. He said it this way, maybe the karma is finished, he said, and I started getting really happy. Maybe the karma is finished, but then he said, but I don't think so, and I sort of folded up again. He said, but you've taken it as far as you can take it. He said, now you need to grow in other ways, and then after you have grown more, this will return, if not in this incarnation, in a future incarnation. And if you have completely finished every lesson that this relationship can teach you, you're not bound if that person hasn't learned. He will get to learn the same lessons of consciousness on someone else if you're finished. And so this is what we do. We just keep lovingly tending this garden until we ourselves have become perfect in our ability to love as God loves us. And God loves us objectively. Unconditionally, but objectively, which is you're not healthy for me right now, or I'm not strong enough right now, or what you ask is not appropriate, or glory, glory, hallelujah, what a wonderful divine friendship we have, and, you know, perfect love or near perfect love can flow between us. That's where all relationships will eventually go, but they will only get there step by step. So even if the tomato plant is going to give you dozens and dozens of tomatoes, you have to work with it appropriately in its own timing, in its own season. And Swami says, relationships, lovingly tend every relationship like a garden until it yields the rich harvest of love.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings and thank you.